views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from Hubbard Radio here at the KKNW AM 1150 studios here in the Seattle area. You may be listening on WBLQ in Connecticut, Rhode Island, or New York. You might be listening somewhere in the United States on cable radio network, or perhaps in Australia on one of the 30-some-odd stations there, or somewhere anywhere around the world on Transformation Talk Radio. But wherever you're listening from today, thank you so much for joining us. You're going to be happy you did. We're talking about something very, very important that affects every single person on the planet. But before we get into that, I want to say hello to my better half here in the studio who allows you to hear these conversations. He does his magic over there on this complex board of things with lots of computers in front of him, Mr. Benny Mathers. Good morning, Benny.
Hey, good morning, Christine. And you were talking about in your introduction and about illuminating one's journey. I've got the best Halloween costume for you. You can actually buy an illumination suit.
Oh.
And it's all full of LEDs and stuff like that.
Oh, that sounds
so. Or you can ask Santa or the higher spirits or whichever.
Well, I suppose you could put on an illumination suit and then get some angel wings too. You know,
totally.
That would be a great costume.
And it changes colors too.
Right, and I'm sure that a costume like that, if I wore it, would totally embarrass my kids.
What? No.
My kids get embarrassed if I put on my purple witch's hat to answer the door.
Are you serious?
Oh yeah. Let me tell you, Benny. You know, your kids are really young.
Am I only in for it?
You're in for it. By the time they're teenagers, they will get embarrassed easily.
Oh, Mom, Dad, they do that a lot? Okay.
Oh, yeah. And it's
adorable,
great weapon.
Though, sure.
It's a great weapon.
It's a great weapon. Is that kind of like licking your hand to slick back their hair if they got like a little bit of a spiky part? Oh, tell me you haven't done that.
Oh, yeah.
I do
all the time. You know, I'm really excited about the show today because this is such an important topic that affects everybody. We are going to be talking out about dying. And, you know, we're going to be talking about what we've done in this culture to make it so difficult for people to exit. I know I personally have been through this with my parents, particularly with my mother, who ended up in hospice and passed away. Many of us are facing friends and family and members who are passing, and we want to know how to support them. But we also want to be empowered to make some choices for ourselves when we die, because obviously these human suits, so to speak, are temporary and the spirit must go on. Well, my guest today is a nurse from, over four decades. Her last dozen years or so, she was a hospice nurse, and she was the former president of the North Coast Hospice and Palliative Nurses Association. She served on the Ohio Hospice Association Education Committee. She ended up retiring, a little over a decade ago, to write about hospice and honor her patients' journeys and to help illuminate new paths for us to forge in the future for others who are dying. The book that is entitled Spirit Matters, How to Remain Fully Alive with a Life-Limiting Illness. And you don't have to just take my word for it, but it's a wonderful book. She's got the support of bigwigs like Dr. Bernie Siegel and Dr. Larry Dossey, who've said wonderful things about her book. I'm so glad she's joining us here today, Judy Flickinger. Judy, welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Well, thank you so much for having me and giving me the opportunity to shed light on what I know to be true and so much of what my patients taught me. Actually, I've been doing hospice for 26 years, Christine.
Wow, wow.
Now I volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
I hung up my shingle in Cleveland, and when I came to Florida, I took it down, and now I am out speaking and doing these interviews, and it's my volunteer work because I know a lot about this subject.
Mm-hmm.
And I want your listeners to know this is not going to be a gloom and doom listening adventure for them. This is going to be educational.
Yes.
It's going to be empowering, and it's going to inspire them.
And it's interesting, too, because when I started reading your book, you know, I knew that there would be some issues in here that would touch upon some of my pain associated with watching my mother die, for instance, watching my cat die. You know, there are things that are, you know, just being human, talking about dying is going to trigger certain things. However, I was surprised at how poignant and beautiful these stories are. So, Judy, why did it feel important to you to write this book so that many could hear these stories and hear your messages?
Well, after all these years of dealing and working with hundreds of dying people, so often the families or my patients would say to me, Judy, please share this what has happened to me with other people. Because they need to know, you know, that what has happened to me doesn't have to happen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or what has happened to me is possible for them.
Ah.
So that was that's the reason I started writing my book. I was a public speaker
mm-hmm.
for the hospice program. My passion is in speaking and education.
Uh-huh.
And we were getting ready to retire and move, and I said to my husband, I have all this information that I'm not hearing from anyone else,
uh-huh.
and I don't want to just throw it away.
Right.
You know, what can I do with it? And he said, well, honey, why don't you write a book? And I said, well, I'm not a very good writer. And he said, well, you're right about that. However, he is a very good writer.
Uh-huh.
So the two of us together, he took my words, and we made them beautiful together.
Oh, yeah, and it is a beautifully written book.
It's
absolutely.
It's a simple read. It's for everyone.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just for older people.
Yes.
An interesting story, Christine, when I was one of the editors that worked on my book, there were two editors, and one of them sent me an email, and she basically said, Judy, I'm not supposed to do this. But she said, I want you to know I'm in my late 20s. And she said, I'm sitting here editing your book, and it's really hitting me.
Mm-hmm.
She said, my grandmother is very ill in another state. And she said, actually, Judy, she's probably dying.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I've always been very, very close to my grandma, and I haven't wanted to go to visit her because I don't know what to say to her.
Mm.
She said, I never dealt with anything like this before.
Yeah, our discomfort with dying and death.
No.
Yes.
And she said, I had to let you know, I have booked a plane ticket since reading your book to go visit my grandma.
Oh.
And I received several emails from her during the course of her grandma's end of life
uh-huh.
experience. And how wonderful it was, she would email me and say, Judy, everyone's trying to push all these treatments and everything on Grandma.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I know it's not going to make her better.
Mm-hmm.
She knows it's not going to make her better. And she said, your book has allowed me to just be here for her.
Wow.
And be her granddaughter and be her friend and sit with her without making suggestions about what she needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just to be. We're human beings.
That's right.
And we need to allow that process to occur because we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 90% of us, Christine, are going to die of a chronic lingering illness. That's 90%.
Wow.
And that can be anything from cancer to end-stage lung, heart, liver, kidney, the dementias, neuromuscular diseases, mm-hmm. all these diseases. It's going to affect 90% of us. So you better get this information because, and I'll tell you the most important reason, I believe, is because the public is not educated.
Right.
But they depend upon their physicians. And what the public doesn't know, physicians aren't educated on end-of-life care either.
So what is it that physicians tend to do when you've got somebody, when they've got somebody who is terminally ill and they've tried the standard of care and maybe even some experimental things and the patient hasn't gotten better? What typically do they do?
Well, they need to learn that about good end-of-life care and what that means. That this is the piece that they don't know
mm-hmm.
because they're not given education in this.
Right.
They need to know good symptom management. They need to know, we in hospice, we have, well, I like to call them the tricks of the trade. We know what works with
uh-huh.
pain.
Right.
And very often physicians, they're taught to treat, you know, acute pain more than they are end-of-life pain.
Oh.
We know what works.
Uh-huh.
We also know in the hospice community that physicians will keep treating their patients far longer than they would allow treatment on themselves. There's a message there.
Oh, yeah.
It's a huge message. And what it's causing is a lot of unnecessary suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw so much of that, and it just, It absolutely broke my heart because it wasn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just the patients that are suffering. It's their families and their loved ones.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be going to a break, but
okay.
when we return, I'm going to want to chat about why it is that we're so unaccepting of dying and death and how it affects both the individual who is in the process of passing and their families. When we return here with Judy Flickinger on the Christine Upchurch Show. Are you interested in helping others by tapping into something more? Do you want to play a bigger role in the shift that is occurring on the planet? The 111 Activation is an energetic session which has helped many worldwide to quickly transform their lives for the better, to gain greater clarity, experience deeper spiritual connection, and express their soul's truth. You too can learn how to facilitate this powerful energetic activation for your friends, family, and clients, even if you have had no previous experience. Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for the 111 Activation Training Seminar in Seattle, November 15th and 16th, to learn a process that is being called expansive, life-changing, and profound. Come be a bigger part of positive change for others. For more information, please visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Or call 425-999-9836. 425-999-9836.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I'd like to share with you a recipe directly from my friends at DeLeo's Cafe website. Try this barbecue lamb marinade in DeLeo's miso marinade. Get your lamb shoulder cut into cubes and put into a deep dish. Add salt and pepper to taste, then fresh garlic. Yum! 3 tablespoons of olive oil and 6 tablespoons of DeLeo's miso sesame seed dressing marinade and leave overnight in the refrigerator. The DeLeo's miso dressing will bring out the best taste of the lamb and make it very, very tender. Then you can barbecue the next day. This recipe is directly from Chef Andre himself, so we know it's going to be delicious. For more information and to order your dressing today, visit DeLeo'sCafe.com. That's G-A-L-E-O-S Cafe.com. Or ask for the dressings at your local grocery store. Remember, shipping is free.
To
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimeLightRadio.com.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling@smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. How many of your healthy habits are really based on fear? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Judy Flickinger. She is a former hospice nurse. She's continuing to do volunteer hospice, and she's written a beautiful book called Spirit Matters, How to Remain Fully Alive with a Life-Limiting Illness. Now, Judy, before the break, we began to talk about how physicians aren't very good at dealing with the end-of-life issues. What is it about our society and about our conventional medical community that has sort of gotten us in this place where we're not dealing with the dying properly?
Well, physicians are given a lot of schooling, but they're only given 4 to 10 hours total on end-of-life care. And prior to the mid-1990s, they were given absolutely no education on end-of-life care. And we've gotten so good at these medical devices and all that we've, you know, these curative elements of caring for patients that we've lost sight of the fact that we're all going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a travesty. In fact, I don't know whether I sent this to you or not, because this is a relatively new study. The Institute of Medicine this past month, September 17th, they issued a report, a 500-page report, by a group of 22 professionals, from college professionals to physicians to, I mean, big important people from all over the country. And this 500-page report, this is what it revealed. We're doing a terrible job in our country on end-of-life care. Also, that we are wasting a lot of money in the process. Now, I don't know how many millions of dollars they spent on this study with this 500 pages. All they had to do was read my book, which is only $13. This is what I'm preaching about. You know, and it doesn't have to be this way. And I don't blame physicians because, you know, they work really, really hard. And the more innovations that come out, the more they have to learn. And they're very busy.
Well, you know, with my mother, she had congestive heart failure. And fortunately for her and for the entire family, the doctor recognized that there was nothing more that he could do beyond palliative care. And he knew that the experts on palliative end-of-life care were the hospice workers. So he, you know, signed her into hospice, essentially, and she had somebody coming a few times a week. And, you know, it was great because not only was there a nurse coming, but also we got to meet with a social worker and talk about some of the issues. It's complex when you're working on, you know, trying to figure out how to care for somebody, not only financially, but just the emotional aspects of caring for a loved one who's, you know, in the last stages of life, and how to deal with the palliative care and the pain management and those sorts of things and the fear that comes up. So what is it about hospice that's good at helping both patients and families deal with the fear?
Well, first of all, hospice is done by a team. It's not just the nurses. There are social workers. There are nurses' aides. There are physicians, there are chaplains, different types of therapy, physical therapy, and lots of wonderful, wonderful volunteers. So we do this in a team effort. And the patient and the family, or whoever is the loved one that's caring for this patient, they become our plan of care. It's not just patient-centered. It's the family-centered. So sometimes the patient's not doing that badly, but the family is just in an uproar. They're scared.
Right.
They've never dealt with this before. They've never had someone. I mean, most of my hospice work was done in patients' homes. And some of the fears were just, I mean, you could cut it with a knife.
Right.
And to be able to go in there and have the team members come in that could help with that. It just, I mean, sometimes, like financial, some of my patients, the caregivers, the wives, had never written a check before in their life.
Right.
They didn't know how to manage money.
Yeah.
The social worker came in and helped them to teach them. We taught some of our female caregivers how to drive a car. You know, they're losing their chauffeur, and they were afraid they'd never be able to go anywhere. So we did so many of those things. And the fear element, the nurse is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays, rain, snow, sleet, whatever. And just to be able to pick up that phone in the middle of the night as a caregiver, because you're afraid or because something is going on that you don't have an answer for, and to have a nurse on the other end. And if the nurse can't manage it over the phone, the nurse is in her car, and she's out there in that patient's home. And believe me, Christine, I went out in snowstorms for an hour and a half, two-hour drive, sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, because the family needed me. And it might have been pain management. It might be, it might have been breathing problems. It might have been anxiety. It might have been nausea and vomiting. Who knows? It's a whole area that's affected during end of life care. So it's a very comprehensive service. And what people don't realize, it doesn't cost you any money.
Yes.
Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance covers our service entirely. And we've had patients that couldn't afford, and we did it anyway, because that's what we do. And we try to keep our patients where they want to be. I used to say to the nurses when I was teaching them, you've got to allow the patient as much control as possible. Because when you're losing your life, you're losing control of everything. And so if my patients wanted to be in the living room instead of in their bedroom, I got them a hospital bed for the living room.
Right.
It was all about patient control. And it was, you know, so many families, they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So they try to force their loved one to eat. Well, when you're dying, sometimes you can't eat.
Right.
Or you don't want to eat. And right. That's okay. That's a personal control issue.
You know, one of the aspects of one of your stories in here that I found so touching was there was a woman who I think she'd gotten out of an abusive relationship. She had an ex-husband, and I think she knew that the ex-husband would come after she passed to take care of her children, and she was afraid that she was going to look bad after passing. And I thought it was so beautiful that you assured her that you would take care of things. And so tell me a little bit about that and what you did to help ease her fear associated with that.
Well, to begin with, her children were in their 20s, and Dad had left because mother's cancer had returned and got himself a girlfriend. So mm-hmm. he left the three of them, and the kids were scared to death.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know how to take care of someone who was dying, let alone their mom.
Right.
So one of the things I did was to empower them. I spent lots of time teaching them how to take care of their mom. And they got empowered by that. They felt better about it. And they knew we were just a phone call away. And we got volunteers in so that they could go on doing some of their 20-year-old stuff,
yeah.
like seeing a girlfriend or going to work.
Right.
So we got volunteers to come in and stay with mom. Just being there and knowing that we were just a phone call away was so important to them. And I tried to compliment them. Whenever I would teach them something and they would learn it well, I would really let them know how proud their mom was and how proud I was of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that made them feel better about themselves, and I can't help but believe that that helped them to go on with life after
right.
their mom died. And hospice follows. We follow our families for 13 months after the person has died.
Wow.
So they had that connection for mm-hmm. 13 more months. And I have to tell you, I know you read this in my book. The human spirit to me is so very, very important in this whole, well, in life. Keeping that part of us alive and well, the person we are inside of us.
Right.
I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the human spirit. And something, I don't know what it was because I've never done this before in 26 years of doing hospice, but I was out working one day and something told me I needed to get to their home
mm-hmm.
and I needed to get there now. And I never went to a home without calling first.
Uh-huh.
But I drove up their driveway and the two kids came running out and saying, "Judy, how did you know? How did you know?"
Mm.
And I said, "How did I know what?" And they said, "Mom just died."
Oh.
And I swear it was a spiritual thing because
right.
She depended upon me to take care of those kids. And I think her spirit let me know that
yes.
they needed me or someone from hospice.
Uh-huh.
To be there because their dad wasn't going to be there.
Right, right.
And it was so powerful for me and still is today.
Beautiful. More with Judy Flickinger when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Have you ever? Come on. Have you ever?
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
I'm Peggy Snow with another Stellar Reflections Minute. Presence, or what we think of as being fully in the moment, is a key element in the process of healing work. As a practitioner facilitating a session, genuine presence takes us out of our heads, where we tend to decide what is and maybe what should be for the client, and moves us into direct experience where we're available to witness the person in their wholeness. In this receptive realm, our senses are heightened and expanded, allowing us to perceive what's seeking to unfold and to interact in the moment. There's something profoundly powerful that happens when healing is approached in this simple, pure way. Balance can be restored and healing can take place on multiple levels. If you'd like more information about the services we offer at Stellar Reflections, visit us at stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOS cafe.com.
Are you interested in helping others by tapping into something more? Do you want to play a bigger role in the shift that is occurring on the planet? The 111 Activation is an energetic session which has helped many worldwide to quickly transform their lives for the better, to gain greater clarity, experience deeper spiritual connection, and express their soul's truth. You too can learn how to facilitate this powerful energetic activation for your friends, family, and clients, even if you have had no previous experience. Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for the 111 Activation Training Seminar in Seattle, November 15th and 16th, to learn a process that is being called expansive, life-changing, and profound. Come be a bigger part of positive change for others. For more information, please visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com. Or call 425-999-9836. 425-999-9836.
Have you ever in your lifetime?
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW, WBLQ, CRN, and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a very important conversation today with Judy Flickinger. She's the author of Spirit Matters, How to Remain Fully Alive with a Life-Limiting Illness. Now, Judy, why is it important to get hospice involved, and when is it important to get hospice involved when a patient has gone from looking for curative care to palliative care?
Well, this is what I tell people when I give my speeches. So many people go to their physician and say, is it time for hospice? And I'm here to tell you that's the wrong question, because many physicians don't know when it's time for hospice.
Huh.
The question should be, would you be surprised if I or my loved one, whoever is the ill person, would die in the next 6 months? And the physician says, no, I wouldn't be surprised, then it's time for hospice. And as you have told me about your mom, some of our patients get discharged.
Yes.
And go back to getting treatments, or, you know, they're doing better.
Right.
Because when you help people feel better, they very often will do better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the secret of hospice. But you can't do this in a couple days or a week.
Uh-huh.
I've had patients on hospice. I had a heart patient once that was on for 2 years.
Really?
I mean, he kept declining, but so very gradually that we got to keep him on. And what the man was able to do, I mean, he had spent almost the year before we got him, he spent almost the whole year in the hospital. Off and on.
Oh, my goodness.
And he wanted to die. It wasn't a life he wanted to live. Well, this man, I mean, 3 weeks before he died, I believe it was three months maybe, he danced at his grandson's wedding.
Oh, wonderful.
I mean, he was on a walker, but he was there. He would, I'm telling you, I have enough experience to know that this man's will to live was zero when we took him into our program. And it was revived tenfold. And he got back into his life.
So why do you think that is?
It helped his family and his wife, his wonderful wife. It helped her so much.
So why do you think that hospice care can sometimes rejuvenate a person?
Well, just like I said, you help people feel better physically, emotionally, spiritually. Very often they'll do better.
Mm-hmm.
And they get that will to live again.
Right.
And we can't, go ahead.
And one of the things that, you know, I'm finding is key for creating change is some sort of acceptance of what is. And if you're no longer busy pushing against a disease, fighting a disease, you know, trying to change what is and become accepting of it, then that creates potential for change. And, you know, I sometimes wonder if the acceptance is an important part of the healing. What's your perspective on the acceptance within the context of family and the acceptance of the dying person? What's the importance of that in healing, either, you know, on the physical level or on the spiritual level?
Well, it's different for everyone. Some people are in denial almost to the very end.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's to protect their spirit. They just can't let it in. But when I have a couple chapters in my book about hope, false hope does more harm than good. To me, hope is possible in hospice. Hope for a better life,
mm-hmm.
hope for a better death, hope for a better experience in the family or who's ever in your life.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of hope, but it just changes direction.
So in your book, you told a story about a woman who was quite ill and dying, and she didn't want to let her family know that she thought she was dying. Can you tell the story of that denial that existed with the family and what happened?
Well, the woman lived with her husband and two daughters that were both nurses. The nurses had never worked in the field of death and dying. Mm-hmm. I think one was an orthopedic nurse. So I would go to visit, and my patient was in the bedroom, and the daughters and the husband would always meet me in the kitchen. And we would sit there and talk, and, I mean, they would cry, and they would say, you can't tell Mom, what we're talking about, because she really doesn't know what's going on. And then I would go back and visit the patient, the wife's mother, and we would sit, and she would cry, and we would talk. And the last thing she would say to me is, Judy, you can't tell my family what we've been talking about, because they don't know I'm dying.
Oh, dear.
Well, I'm in there with hospice. I mean, where I didn't get this.
Uh-huh.
So one day I said to her, you know, it's really sad that you're back in this bedroom all by yourself, and your family's in the kitchen, and people are, this is a family thing,
mm-hmm.
and you should be doing this together. She said, I know, Judy, but I just don't want them to know. And I said, well, would you like me to talk to them? And she said, yeah, I think it's time. So I went out, and I said the same thing to them. It's really sad that your mom, your wife, back there all by herself.
Mm-hmm.
She needs you now, but we don't want her to know. And I said, she knows,
uh-huh.
and she wants you to know that she knows.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't life be much better for the four of you if you did this together? Well, the end of the story is she was able to spend time with her daughters, talking to them about life,
uh-huh.
and what she wanted them to know about family, and they picked out her clothes that she was going to be laid out in. They did this together. They loved each other, the four of them, to her death. And it was a beautiful thing.
And if they hadn't, like, tried to push it away, I mean, if they had continued to push it away, then they would have missed that opportunity.
Oh, such an opportunity.
Yeah. So clearly, when you're doing hospice, even as a nurse, you have to attend to the emotional issues as well.
Absolutely.
So what kind of fears do dying patients have?
Well, they fear some of them dying alone. They fear pain. They fear the other symptoms. There's a whole lot of symptoms that are involved in an end-of-life situation. They fear of leaving their loved one, especially in the elderly, of being financially not able to live, to keep the house, you know, to be able to live on the money situation. Because very often, by the time a person becomes a hospice patient, they've gone through a lot of their finances trying to find a cure. They fear what's going to happen to their family. There's just so many fears associated. The family fears taking care of someone that's dying. They never did it before. You know, unless you've done something before, there's a lot of fear in it. And, you know, I like to think of my book as a personal trainer for death and dying, because it's full of wisdom.
It is. It absolutely
is. To alleviate some of those fears. And they the families, they're scared to death. I mean, especially when a younger person is taking care of a mother or a grandmother. They don't know how, to give them personal care. So our job is to teach them. There's so many fears. And knowing that we're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is very helpful in that whole fear element.
Right. And hospice has ways of dealing with all those symptoms that, so if you can communicate to the patient and to the patient's family that the symptoms can be alleviated, then it takes away a big fear, doesn't it?
The story in my book about the woman that I made rounds at all the Cleveland hospitals, and I went in to speak to her about her coming home from the hospital on hospice, and the only thing she feared, Christine, was pain. And she had a cancer that usually causes a lot of pain. And I said to her, I want you to know, I teach pain management. It's going to be my job with your physician to keep you out of pain. You just have to trust me. I know how to do this. And her spirit lifted, and she lived with in peace. And her spirit was good during her whole dying time, which people don't realize. Dying can take a very long time.
Yes, it can.
It can take weeks, months, or sometimes even years. And it's how that spirit is treated during that time that makes the biggest difference. And her spirit was nurtured by taking away that fear.
Right. That's beautiful. And I also want to mention your website. We're going to go to another quick break, but we'll be back. And your website is spiritmattersauthor.com.
Correct.
More with Judy Flickinger when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Wondering who will be there to take my place when I'm gone.
Are you ready to move past limiting beliefs and unconscious obstacles that are holding you back from financial prosperity? Do you want to be free from debt and that feeling of being disempowered? Mary Jane Allen is a financial healer and joy creation specialist who uses her unique set of tools included in her financial healing process to help her clients move past those beliefs and fears. For more information and to contact Mary Jane, visit her website, manifestyourlifedream.com, and begin your financial healing process today.
Are you interested in helping others by tapping into something more? Do you want to play a bigger role in the shift that is occurring on the planet? The 111 Activation is an energetic session which has helped many worldwide to quickly transform their lives for the better, to gain greater clarity, experience deeper spiritual connection, and express their soul's truth. You too can learn how to facilitate this powerful energetic activation for your friends, family, and clients, even if you have had no previous experience. Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for the 111 Activation Training Seminar in Seattle, November 15th and 16th, to learn a process that is being called expansive, life-changing, and profound. Come be a bigger part of positive change for others. For more information, please visit StellarReflections.com. That's StellarReflections.com. Or call 425-999-9836. 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. What does the word healing mean? Many think that healing merely means eliminating symptoms. However, based on my many years as a healer, I have a much broader perspective on the word. Healing can manifest in a variety of ways, including having physical problems resolved, becoming more emotionally centered, experiencing better relationships, gaining greater clarity, and feeling more spiritually connected. True healing always includes some level of transformation. Whatever form healing takes, there is one commonality, an improvement in quality of life. To me, the highest form of healing goes beyond aligning with wellness. It comes from recognizing our soul's voice and allowing it to speak through us. And in that sense, don't we all yearn to heal into our wholeness? Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.
Need love to light the shadows on your face. If a great wave shall fall and fall upon us all, then between the sand and stone, could you make it on your own? If I could, then I would.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on KKNW and Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Judy Flickinger, the author of Spirit Matters. We are talking about end-of-life care. Now, Judy, you're talking about helping to alleviate fears. What is it about accepting what is and getting people set up so that they can be comfortable, or getting the family set up so that they can be responsible and, you know, and be armed with the knowledge of how to handle things? How does that allow the spirit to come through more clearly?
Well, it's a process, and we use the whole team to do this process and to bring people to the present instead of living in the past. When the family comes together and the family and the patient are on the same page finally, and sometimes it takes a long time, and when they see that it's going to be okay, I mean, it's going to be all right, then the spirit is revived. And when the fears are eliminated, it allows that person inside of them to be healthy again.
Mm-hmm.
Because fear is, you know, filled with fear is not healthy. So it's a process. And getting patients on hospice for 2 days, it doesn't work. I don't even call that hospice. I call that crisis management.
Sure.
And I've done so much of that, and it's a shame. It doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to offer a suggestion to your listeners.
What's that?
That could help them prepare for this. Have the conversation with your loved ones before an illness strikes.
Well, that's brilliant.
Because if you're all on the same page, you know, I have had this conversation with my 3 kids. This is what I want. This is what will be acceptable to me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've seen too much. I've seen too much unnecessary suffering. And I've said, if you don't follow this, I mean, I laid it out for them. I want to be comfortable.
Right.
I want to be home or in a home-like setting. We do hospice in nursing homes and assisted living. We had a patient that was a homeless patient who lived in his car, and that's where the hospice was done. Because that's where he wanted to be. It wasn't easy.
I'm sure.
But have this conversation, because in hospice, and this is in other fields too, it's called the kid from California syndrome, and it can be a kid from anywhere. It can be your next door neighbor, your kid living next door to you. There's always going to be one in the family that wants all curative treatment to continue.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to know, have it spelled out for them, what is acceptable to you.
Right.
My kids know what's acceptable to me, and I've said, and if you don't listen, I'm going to come back and haunt you because this is what's so important to me.
Yes.
So have the conversation. I hope your readers or your listeners will read my book. They can get it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's available on Kindle.
And it's a beautiful book. And I just want to read a short paragraph here just to give our listeners a taste of it. When we come to the end of life, accepting the fact that some of our former hopes and dreams will never be realized allows us to let go. When we are dying, if we accept the reality of what is happening, we can deal with things as they are, not as we wish they could be. We can then move on to death with our spirits intact, not broken and left in pieces. When cure is not possible, the ego's powerful craving for physical immortality must be muted so that the spirit can live. In doing so, it is possible to find peace while we are dying. That's so beautifully written, and the stories in here are just incredible. They feel so real. They feel so, you know, some of them feel very familiar, and you've got such important messages in this book. So, what's the important message that you'd like to leave our listeners with today, Judy?
Become informed. Empower yourself, just like I have done with my children. Have a conversation.
Right.
Make this be about you. It's not about anybody else. It's about you. So, you know, I hope they'll read my book.
Yes.
I hope that I would love to get on these radio shows to educate. So if they have any place that they can get me in, I would be very happy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't charge for this. This is my passion.
Yeah.
So I wish them a peaceful, comfortable end-of-life experience with a very, very intact spirit.
It's beautiful. And, you know, one of the things that I've loved about so many of the stories in here is seeing how the dying process can be so healing for the family, including the individual who's passing. And, you know, as an energy healer, I view healing, you know, more broadly than a lot of people. I don't think of it as something that's curative. But it's just so beautiful to see how through the acceptance and through the connection and the proper kind of assistance, people can go out in a beautiful, beautiful way.
And just think of the wonderful memories that leaves with the loved ones, mm-hmm. rather than being in ICU mm-hmm. or, you know, hooked up to machines with their arms tied down because they want those tubes pulled out.
Right.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
And that's my quest.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for doing what you do. I understand that you won the Women of Hope Award in Central Florida, and you are giving us hope in terms of healing into death. And I want to thank you, Judy Flickinger. And again, the website is what?
www.spiritmattersauthor.com.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us here today,
thank
Judy.
Thank you.
And I want to thank you for listening here today. Please check out my website if you're interested in helping others to transform their lives. Got some training seminars coming up. Also, I wanted to let you know that I've got a friend who's going to be on next week. It's Dr. Joe Dispenza. We're going to have another wonderful conversation. So please join us here again, same time, same place. And meanwhile, have a wonderful week, everybody.
You've been listening to the Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you interested in helping others by tapping into something more? Do you want to play a bigger role in the shift that is occurring on the planet? The 111 Activation is an energetic session which has helped many worldwide to quickly transform their lives for the better, to gain greater clarity, experience deeper spiritual connection, and express their soul's truth. You too can learn how to facilitate this powerful energetic activation for your friends, family, and clients, even if you have had no previous experience. Please join me, Christine Upchurch, for the 111 Activation Training Seminar in Seattle, November 15th and 16th, to learn a process that is being called expansive, life-changing, and profound. Come be a bigger part of positive change for others. For more information, please visit stellarreflections.com. That's stellarreflections.com or call 425-999-9836. 425-999-9836.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling at smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
I'm Christine Upchurch, and this is a Stellar Reflections Minute. Years ago, when facing cancer, without any immediate treatment options, I sought healing by making various life changes. For a while, I followed a very restrictive diet. I often found myself obsessing about which foods were good and which ones were bad. Then one day, I realized I was consuming foods based on fear of not getting well. But I didn't want to make choices out of fear anymore. I decided it was far better for my immune system if I allowed myself to experience the joy that came from, say, eating frozen yogurt, than it was for me to ingest the fear that came from avoiding it. Now, instead of choosing healthy habits based on fear, I try to make choices because they feel right and ultimately bring me joy and ease. how many of your healthy habits are really based on fear. Please visit StellarReflections.com or call 425-999-9836. That's 425-999-9836.